Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, and today we're going to talk about a subject that is really, really important. It is intimacy. We're also talking about a subject that is largely misunderstood in the world, and most of the world thinks that it's sharing deep, intimate stories about yourself, but that's only part of the game. Intimacy doesn't really start happening until our yearning is informing us moment by moment. Until we are becoming what we call our emerging self with the other person, that we are each emerging into our potential, that we are yearning for connection, that we are engaging, that we are bumping into each other. Yes, bumping into each other, having conflict, learning and growing, and becoming who we could become. Is it really intimacy if it's not fulfilling my potential? I don't think so. I think it's a placebo. I think it's a pacifier. I don't think it's really intimacy if we aren't really getting challenged. If we aren't being challenged to stretch ourselves, to become more of ourselves, and be nurtured. Think of relationship as a womb that facilitates me becoming who I could become, and a crucible that burns away my imperfections. We also speak of those as unfinished business. I develop myself with you, yearning with you. You yearn with me. We bump into each other. We support each other. We become who we could become. So intimacy, the adventure of relationship. And intimacy can happen at work. It can happen anywhere. Interestingly, in our research, we have discovered that the rules of engagement are the same for intimacy as they are success at work. They're pretty simple. Accentuate the positive. Minimize the negative. You want at least a 5-to-1 ratio of positive to negative. Nobody gets more than 50% of the blame. In business, it's about systems. In couples, it's about developing the systems that can help you take care of the routine, difficult things easily so that each of you can be stretching into your potential self. And in order for that to happen, each of you needs to take 100% responsibility for your own satisfaction. You need to learn to agree with the truth always, and you need to fight for things, not against. Too often, conflict in couples is about what I don't want to do that you want me to do instead of what I want that I'm fighting for, what you want that you're fighting for. So we each have positive direction and momentum into what we yearn for. So we learn, we grow, we let go of some things we want, other things, but our wants are driven by our yearning. And we revelate. We see and learn because we've taken 100% responsibility for our own satisfaction. We see what we could have done better. And nobody gets more than 50% of the blame, so I am never blameless. Doesn't do much good to blame somebody if I'm never blameless. Judith and I were having a fight just the other day, and I really just reamed her a new butthole. And I was full of baloney. It was all where I had not taken responsibility for my own satisfaction, fulfillment. And it wasn't until later that night and the next morning that I could even see clear enough to realize I was full of horse manure. So, 50% responsibility. So nobody gets more than 50% of the blame, 100% responsibility, and always orient to the truth. My blaming her was not the deeper truth. Yes, there were flaws in what she had done. But it wasn't blamable because I had participated in creating it, at least at 50%, and I was 100% responsible to correct the situation. And I was not responsibly communicating my disappointment and my frustration to her. I was blaming her for things I had not done. Simple. But not easy. It takes a lot of skill to be able to be fully engaged with another human being. And how the heck can it be intimacy if we don't fully engage with another human being? Let's not BS ourselves. We're talking about real relationships here. The adventure of intimate contact. Learning and growing and having great lives together. Not where he goes and has a great career and she has great parenting. not where he has a great career, she has a great career, and the kids have a great upbringing, but nobody really encounters each other. No, this is a game of family life, too. It's a game at work, that we are generative, transformational agents wherever we go, that we are becoming. So the assumption behind this is that we are human beings who have yearning going on all the time. And if I learn to listen to that yearning and take the risk to engage to satisfy that yearning, I will develop new skills. I'll also see where I'm wrong. I'll also see where I have limiting beliefs. I will learn to experiment to challenge those limiting beliefs. And it all starts with 50-50. Nobody gets more than 50% of the blame. Everybody gets 100% of the responsibility. And we always agree with the truth in what the other person says. We also learn to do other things, fight for, not against, to assume goodwill, to accentuate the positive, minimize the negative. But for today, the example I gave you, I had not assumed 100% responsibility. I had some pain I had been denying, some yearnings I had been denying, and I was not taking full responsibility to satisfy my yearning, nor was I giving Judith a fair chance to help me satisfy that yearning, and it exploded out with blame. Well, I know that nobody gets more than 50% of the blame, and I blamed her way too much. So I knew I was wrong, and I wasn't telling the full truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I was telling partial truths to put that blame on her. So we assume 100% responsibility for our own satisfaction. I still haven't resolved this issue, but I now know it's my job. I am actually having a great deal more fun in my life right now. And our first caller, for you to have more fun and for our first caller to have more fun, Marcia, how do couples start the conversation? Oh, cool. Oh, cool. We're talking about our book, The Heart of the Fight, A Couple's Guide to 15 Common Fights, what they mean and how they can bring you closer. Yes, many people feel this can cause negative feelings or resentment. You're darn right. There are always negative feelings or resentment, and they can get worse if you don't each take 50% of the blame and 100% responsibility when you're sweeping your feelings under the rug. Oh, boy, great insight, Marcia, great insight. Is there anything else here, or shall I have Marcia? Talk to me,
hi,
Marcia.
Well, hi, Bob. My question for you is this. How do you suggest that couples begin the conversation, you know, commonly known as the talk, expressing their point of view without causing an argument or putting more distance on the relationship? You know, especially knowing that these issues can be highly charged, sensitive topics, and
yep,
in particular, when they're at diametrically opposed positions, what do you recommend?
Well, see, it's already too late once the issues happen. And one of the reasons we wrote the book is that so couples could really understand that what learning and growing together is. And we start the book out talking about the fact that love is messy. But if you don't have the skills to deal with the mess, it can be devastating. So one is we accept that love is messy. Two is we have to recognize the myths of what intimacy are. The myths, intimacy is not riding away into the sunset. We all know that intellectually, but we still think if it were really right, it would just be that way. So there are a number of other myths that include that conflict is bad, that we have to overcome to start understanding. So the first three chapters of The Heart of the Fight are to set the context for the two of you to begin the conversation. And then the fourth chapter is about opening up to your yearning, and it's not until the fifth chapter that we talk about the rules of engagement that I'm talking about today. So what I would talk about is that you're not happy, but you want to have a win-win for both of you, and you want him to read the book with you.
Exactly. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah, because couples are usually trying to catch up from behind because there are so many myths in our world and there's so much misunderstanding, and the people that give us advice are generally ignorant. For example, ignorant advice, don't go to bed angry. Nuts to that noise, sometimes it's important enough to go to bed angry, but always pick the time that you're going to continue the conversation. When Judith and I got together, I was much more verbal and aggressive. And we had to learn that she could say, time out, and she had to give me a time that we'd get back together, and suddenly she was able to collect herself and not feel like I was a machine gun of impossible communication.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading your book.
Yeah, and set the context that it's really about loving each other, Marcia. It's about wanting to be closer. It's wanting more of him and him wanting more of you. And that you want to learn to live life richly together in a way that benefits him maximally and benefits you maximally. Set that context and you're more likely to have him playing with you. Otherwise, he's going to be fighting against. What?
So it sounds like these are opportunities to work through your differences and actually have a deeper understanding.
And celebrate your differences and to have each of you learning and growing. And here's another key part of this, Marcia, that you have a contract. One of you is probably more verbal than the other. Which is it?
That's true. I am.
Good. He hired you to be more verbal. Guess what? You have to become less verbal and he has to become more verbal. That's the bummer of the game. The contract has to change for you to keep growing together and being happier.
Great advice.
And you may want to also... What?
I said that's great advice.
And you may want to use this recording and just go to Blog Talk and look it up and listen to this with him to set it up.
Oh, I definitely will do that.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for calling, Marcia.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Isn't that fantastic? I mean, that's the cool part of the book. Is there so much horse manure, mythology, and crap out there that there's so little real knowledge and wisdom about how to connect? That's where the fact that we've been working with some couples over 20 years. We've worked with some couples 25 years. We've gotten to see them raise their kids, send their kids off to college, and learn and grow in the process, make mistakes. And so we've been basically learning and growing from these couples for a very long time, and we're lucky as can be. So our next caller is Alia. She says, how do I respond to my partner when he says, that's BS, to the theories and concepts I am learning? Well, ask him to point out where it's excretus taurus. And ask him to explain what he means by BS. Don't defend. Find out how deeply he understands. And what is the belief that he is operating from when he tells you that? And what is the skill set in having a great relationship that he has that makes him so knowledgeable? Talk to me, Alia.
Hello.
Good to hear from you.
Yes. I have done that a little bit, you know, not to defend and just say,
okay,
so interesting you're saying that.
I want you to know I stopped listening to you the minute you told me you had done that.
Okay.
Because there's a difference between you've done something like that once and you do it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you haven't. Both because I know you, and even if I didn't know you, I wouldn't believe you if you insisted to me that you had. Because I would assume that even if you had said something like that, you said it out of defensiveness for yourself to invalidate him rather than to really get him talking.
Okay.
To take him to the realm of what he does not know. To help him confront his own ignorance and his own fear of you knowing more than he knows about relationship and how threatened he is by you as a woman.
Yeah.
I heard the sigh.
No, I hear you. And yes, not doing it consistently. And
will you get strong
practice
enough?
More.
Will you get strong enough to not want his agreement and not need his agreement, and to be genuinely interested in him, because he's giving you a chance to get stronger? You've clearly hired him to be your aggression. So I'm proposing that you learn to harness your aggression and become very powerfully, intentionally assertive, but in a way that doesn't need to neuter him, but invites him into himself and refuses to get hooked by him.
Yeah.
By the way, folks, Alia is in WGU, so I'm giving her a much harder time than I would give most people. I've worked with Alia in the past. Do you hear, Alia, that you still feel like a victim to him?
I disagree, Bob, but then, you know, then you'll start that I'm defending, so I don't know right now what to say, because I've intentionally gotten out of the drama. Yeah. I get into it, but I stop myself, you know, fairly quickly now than I used to.
I don't think you're telling the truth that you own 50% of the responsibility with him, and that you take 100% responsibility for your own satisfaction. I believe you're trying to do that in making this call. But I think that assuming 100% responsibility and nobody getting more than 50% of the blame is a way bigger challenge than most of us realize. It's way harder to do that.
Yeah, and it's much harder if the other person, you know, is not taking any blame at all. That then becomes harder. So I can be vulnerable and I can put myself out there and I can, you know, emote and say, you know, I am hurt about this or not, or I'm feeling inadequate here, there, whatever. So I can open up and I can take responsibility, but if you come around and say, yeah, it's your responsibility, you're 100% responsible. So, or I mean, not responsible, blame.
Are you aware that you're giving us a complex excuse that explains the difficulty of the situation as his fault?
It's not. It's mine.
Well, you know the factuality of it, but do you know that you just asked us to feel sorry for you at the difficulty points that you're facing with him? And I hear your aloneness. I do hear your aloneness in this. But I hear there's a great deal of pain. And I hear that there's a profound yearning to be affirmed. And I hear profound pain. But I don't hear you at 50-50 and 100. And I think they're big skills to develop, and you're better off acknowledging where you're short, where you want to give him more than 50, and where you don't want to take 100. And I get that it's a very difficult situation. And so what we always say then, if it doesn't kill you, just make you stronger. But I think what's really going on is you're telling me how painful this is. And then what we get to look at is your unfinished business. And have you ever felt that anybody really saw you and knew you?
No.
Right. And so what you get to work on is really feeling seen and known by others, and to recognize the trap that many of us run into of only knowing how to reinforce ourselves, to try and affirm ourselves by feeling sorry for ourselves, by blaming other people, but that ultimately doesn't affirm our magnificence. And so it may be that the closest to manifesting that magnificence you can come to is just to feel the extreme pain of how he is driving home that aloneness and how you how frustrated you are with your yearning to connect.
Yeah, and then what?
From 100% responsibility, you'll start noticing your yearning to connect with others. And you'll start recognizing the ways that you connect with others out of drama, as opposed to really learning and growing and moving to being more and more effective with him. And I've heard you after you've stepped out of it, when you've been more effective with him. I've heard you at different times. So you know what I'm talking about because you've been there.
Yeah.
It's just really hard and it's really painful. And I have no easy answer. But I assume that you married him so that you could develop the strength that you saw in him. And I'm just eager to hear you become that certain in yourself as he acts and is not really in himself. What do you think of that?
I don't agree because I didn't know what I know now about myself.
What are you disagreeing with?
That, you know, you talk about the, you know, the rules, the unspoken agreements. And the agreement, you know, back then was very different because, as you know, I connected to him out of drama and I wanted him to carry, you know, the aggression or, you know, whatever, the realness. And that agreement is, I'm challenging that agreement now.
Right.
And... yeah,
but it's not just the agreement. You have to develop the strength that you saw in him, and you're not there yet. That
no,
was
I'm
the
not.
Vision I was making for you.
Yeah, thank
you. I don't hear the disagreement.
Yeah, no, what I was disagreeing is that when I, you know, married him, that's what I saw in him, so I need to develop that. I was seeing that... yeah, I need to develop that. I'm not there yet.
So he
you know,
simply...
This breaking of the agreement is... Yeah.
But you can break it all by yourself and get stronger and stronger. But every time you go to self-pity, you weaken yourself.
Yeah.
Every time you want to blame him for the pain... you still haven't gotten full responsibility. I don't know if he'll hang around as you get stronger. We'll see. But it won't be because you left.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Bob.
A lot to chew on. You may want to actually have him listen to this with you, too. And the first caller also. Thanks very much, Alia.
Thank you.
Oh, man, this is tough stuff, isn't it? We have an online question from Lavon. How do you start a relationship over when it's been broken more than once? Well, first of all, you can't start it over. Think that's an illusion and a myth that you can start it over. There's a lot of unfinished business you brought to that relationship that's manifest in that relationship. And coming at it with nobody gets more than 50% of the blame, you get to look at what you didn't do differently. You get to look at the lessons in that. You get to learn to come back together, taking 100% responsibility for your own satisfaction and always orienting to the truth of what the other person says and what you say. So that's really good because you can't start over. you're always going to have the experiential foundation, and none of us can start over from our childhood. But it is never too late to have a happy childhood. It is never too late to tap into your child self and learn the exuberance of being in the here and now, and the pain of having your doggy die and losing your blankie and having your dolls hurt, and the warmth and satisfaction of reaching out for affirmation from your parents, never too late. So let's get on with the job. I'd like you to thank you for joining us to bring out your best Blog Talk Radio. We'd love to have you join our February 18th Heart of the Fight book launch. Don't miss it. It's at 5:30 to 8 o'clock. It will be held at Embassy Suites Lakefront from 5:30 to 8. It is between Illinois and Grand on Columbus. Join us at Embassy Suites. You got to take the elevator upstairs. We'll have people there to guide you. We'll have refreshments, and we're going to have a party. And we're going to celebrate human potential and us contributing to a world that works for everyone, one person at a time, starting with you and your world and those you touch and everyone you touch developing their potential, because you're deeply committed to your own potential, that you are working on your own personal power. That's our theme for 2016, energizing your life and igniting your world. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright.